Adventist World Radio. From broadcast to baptism. Powered by SID Media.
Muruti Chuma Dumela.
Dumela, Lekai.
Reteng Muruti Lekai.
Reteng.
Ne, lisanti sharpo since this morning.
Ra?
Lisanti sharpo since this morning.
Reduce sharpo, ra, reduce sharpo.
No right tumela go utlwa seo mabane no la o re go a chesa go joanga jeko.
It's hot, my man, it's hot.
Still
hot. Yeah, maybe, man. 36-37 degrees somewhere there.
Yeah, well, here in Pretoria, I think we've joined the bandwagon from yesterday. We've also been enduring a heat wave here, about 35 degrees or so in Pretoria, so quite hot as well here.
Becoming like a permanent heat wave here now.
Man, unbelievable. Well, I think you guys just need to acclimatize this to the situation, eh?
We have no choice. We just have to accept it is.
Fantastic. Now we're going to be continuing on that subject that we've been dealing with since Monday. And today we're going to be talking about what are some of the five R's, of repentance, some of which we may have already touched on in the previous days. And as far as repentance goes, what does the Bible tell us about these five R's and their significance? And so we're going to be talking about them. It's a recognition of sin, remorse for sin, resolve over sin, reformation from sin, and lastly, restitution for sin. Mfundisi, please take us through this. Recognition for sin?
Yeah, we have said it before. I think recognition is what we've been through a lot of times, that in repenting, we must recognize that there is sin in our lives.
Mm.
You can't repent from a situation where you don't accept there's sin in your life, and also that God hates sin. So there's no real turning back if we don't correctly identify the things we are turning away from.
Mm-hmm.
You are turning back from sin. Which right. sin are you turning back from?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are turning away from an evil and unholy things in the sight of God.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just a change of religion. You are not moving from being an atheist to being a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
You are realizing that the things we have done, the things we are doing, are wrong in the sight of God.
Yeah.
It's also accepting. It's accepting that it's your fault that you are in the situation.
Yes. So you basically recognize the situation that you are in, and say, you know what, I'm in this situation. I need to recognize it so that you can repent.
Yes.
Now,
you have to accept where you are. If you don't accept it, if you don't recognize it, then there's no need for repentance. There's no point in trying to repent.
You know, I'm reminded as you're speaking about the young rich ruler who, he says, I've kept the law since I was in Pathfinder, since I was an adventurer, actually, he says.
In short, I have no need for repentance.
Exactly, because he says, listen, I was an adventurer. I mean, I could quote you verses and I'd blow your mind. He says, I do know this off by heart. All of these things, he says, I've done them before I could even form a proper sentence. And please, man. So now,
Whatever you say, I know.
There's nothing new. Nothing new, really. And so recognition, then, of sin may not happen in those instances. A person that says, I'm trying to look around to Muruti. So are you saying that everybody has sinned somewhere, or that there are people who truly cannot point out exactly where has he erred?
Yeah, everybody has sinned. We cannot run away from the fact that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I need of a savior. So that is the position we should be at for us to be able to even think of repentance. We need to accept that we have sinned and we are in need of a savior. Otherwise, if you have not sinned, then you are not in need of anyone. You can't repent. You know, there's no turning back to where, because you're in the right direction.
Yeah, interesting. Now, let's talk about remorse for sin. But please unpack this concept.
Being remorseful, being sorry, being saying what I'm doing is not right. You know, there is recognition of the fact that this is a sin.
Mm.
You know, I am a sinner. Then you stop there. It's not good enough. You need to move to a point of remorse and say, you know what? I am a sinner and this position is not good. I'm not enjoying it. I don't like it. I wish I had not done it.
Is this notwithstanding the fact that actually sin, as they say, is quite enjoyable?
It is. It is quite enjoyable.
So how does a person become remorseful for something that they actually enjoyed?
You know, we said yesterday that for you to be in a position of saying, I want to repent, you need to accept that on your own, without the Savior, without Christ, you are lost. Even as you are enjoying whatever you are enjoying, you know it is only but temporary. It is going to end. It might be beautiful. You might enjoy it. And, you know, you might move when you're in the middle of people and the like. You might feel big, nice and everything. But you know it will end. And when it ends, it won't be nice. You are not going to enjoy it. So you begin not to enjoy it before you even get to the end. Yeah.
Yeah, well, quite interesting because, you know, as I'm thinking about it, Muruti, I do not see how a person says, I don't like where I'm at, you know, I'm just remorseful, I hate this thing. I mean, they love every minute of it. The only thing that makes them repent is the theological knowledge that God hates it.
No, the theological knowledge that God hates it will not lead you to a point of being remorseful, but the recognition and the realization that you are far from your Savior, you are far from Christ who died for you, a Christ who loved you so much, is what can lead you to a position of remorse. When you are the prodigal son, if before you got to a point where you are now eating with swine and the like, if you remember your father, if you remember the way the father feels about you, and you think of what you have done to him, you might be enjoying your position now, but when you look back and you see where you should have been at, I should have been by my father's side. Notwithstanding the fact that right now you are with Ketley, you are rich and the like, but the position, your best ever position, would be by your father's side. Then you realize, oh, I might have Ketley, I might enjoy this position, I might have servants and the like, but the position I actually want to be at is by my father's side.
It's the yearning of where you'd actually want to be in the future.
Exactly.
All right. Now, talk to us, Pastor, about the resolve over sin. The resolve over sin. That's the next R, the resolve over sin. Please do unpack this one for us.
You have recognized. You are remorseful. Now you are making a decision to say that, what do I do with this thing that I don't like? What do I do with this position that I'm not enjoying? What do I do with this position that I'm enjoying, like you said earlier, that you are actually enjoying it, but you are not enjoying it. You know, the dilemma you are in, what do I do with it? You need to make a decision. You need to come to a conclusion that, you know what? I'm recognizing this thing. Yes, I am remorseful, but now I am making a decision to move away from this position.
So you're making the decision to move away from this position. Does that include making sure that, you know what, I'm moving away from this? Not only am I moving away, can you make a resolve that I don't want to come back here, or it's okay to say I'm moving away from this?
It's not okay to just say I'm moving away from it. You know, when yesterday we said, can you repent and then go back to the sin? You know, yeah, and we agreed that yes, you can repent and then go back to the sin. But when you are making a decision to say that I am moving away from this sin, you are making a permanent decision. You are not saying, oh, let me stop it today, I'll come back to it tomorrow.
I see. You are saying,
I don't like this, and I will never do this thing again. And we said, when you make that decision, Christ looks at you and cleanses you from all that sin, and it's as if you've never committed it in your life. So when you fall tomorrow, if you fall, it's a new It's a new chapter. It's a new beginning. So when you're making the resolve, when you're resolving to move away from sin, you are resolving to make a permanent decision to stay away from it.
I see.
Yeah.
And then you are resolving to permanently move away from it. Is that possible, though? Because it looks like it may not be very possible, because you're going to be falling on the same trap in the future.
It is. Is it possible to live away from sin? Is it possible? You know, when Christ came to earth,
is it possible to say, you know what? I'm leaving this. I'm not ever going to come back to this. I'm just never going to find myself in this situation. And the truth of the matter is, you may find yourself there next week.
Yes. You may find yourself there next week. But like I said, when you are making a decision, you are saying, I'm not coming back here. Then when you fall, you have fallen.
Mm-hmm.
But if you say, I'm not making a temporary decision, maybe I will or maybe I will not, you not have resolved.
I see. So then
we need to accept that there is a possibility that you might never come back to it.
Mm-hmm.
Not through your doings, not through your capabilities, but through Christ.
Through Christ and Him alone. Lovely, 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 lovely. Now, the next R is reformation. Reformation from sin. Please do unpack the reformation from sin.
Jesus Christ tells us a parable of two sons. One son, the father is asking him to do some work for him. He says, all right, father, I'll do it. And then he sleeps. The other one says, no, I'm not going to do it. But immediately after that, he realizes that, no, the decision I made is not right. He reforms from that position and goes back to do what the father wanted him to do. So when we are talking about reformation, we are realizing that repentance requires a change in someone's attitude. You know, you need to make a change towards God. You are saying you are moving from disobedience to obedience. You are making a change towards others. You are moving from selfishness to love. You are making a change towards yourself, from pride to humility. So when you are reforming, you are simply making a change. If you are in one direction, let's say one street, a single street going one to the north, you turn and go to the south. So reformation is a change of character, a change of position, a change of direction.
Interesting. And last one, last R, we're talking about restitution. Restitution from sin. Please unpack this one.
You know, when we read the Bible, it teaches us that everything we owe for our sin has been paid by Jesus Christ on the cross. He has died, and we don't have to die. However, my sins have also hurt people, and true repentance demands that as far as I'm able, I should try and correct the things that I messed up during my sinful days. So when you are repenting, when you are changing direction, you realize that in the root I was at, in my days of sinfulness, in my days of iniquity, I hate God. So you kneel down and pray to Him and ask for forgiveness. We spoke about confession the other time. So you are confessing to Him and you're asking Him to forgive you. You remember that guy, that short guy, what's his name again?
Zacchaeus.
Zacchaeus is a tax collector. He goes and gets taxes from people, and he gets more than he was supposed to get. Then he meets Christ, and then he reforms. He meets Christ, he repents. Then he says, you know what? There are people I have stolen from. I'm going to pay them back. If you are able, you need to pay back what you messed up. Yeah. If you are able, you need to ask for forgiveness from God. If you are able, you need to ask for forgiveness from those that you have hurt on your way. If you are able, you need to go to your brother and say, you know what, my brother, what I did the other time was not right. Please forgive me. You need to go to your sister and say, my sister, I hurt you in this way. I can pay this. You know, I took this from you, and so what we are saying is, when you are a thief, when you are a murderer, when you are arrested and you repent, you still pay the penalty of sin through the courts of the law, through jail and the like. But God has forgiven you. You are a sinless human being, but you are still paying for the consequences of that sin.
Yeah. I must say that this sin problem is a really a tough one, but one that we really have to, you know, just give everything to God, and so that He is able to honestly and truly, you know, perform these R's, you know, restitution for sin, reformation, resolve, remorse, and recognition. Please do talk to us about these in combination. Is it possible to make a stand and say, I'm standing on these on your own?
No, it is not possible. You can't do this. You can't do this on your own. The only thing you really need to do is to resolve, to make a decision. You need to realize that is recognition. You need to resolve to make that decision. You need to take responsibility for your for your mess. Don't blame anyone for your sin. You know, no. The reason I'm through this is because of the devil. You know, the reason why I'm doing this is because of the way I was brought up. The reason why I'm doing this is because of my neighborhood. The reason why I'm doing this is because of the school I went to. As long as you have someone to blame for your sin, you cannot make a decision to turn away from it. But when you make a decision, the biggest decision you are making is to give it to Christ. To say, I don't like the position I'm at, Christ, please take over from here and give me direction. So you cannot do it on your own. You need Jesus by your side.
True, true. Well, Mfundisi, I do think that we have spent a beautiful time this afternoon with you. I do pray that the Lord blesses you and, you know, replenishes where you have taken from. Blessings to you indeed.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
God bless.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.